There's no secret formula for scaling support and boosting customer satisfaction. But there is the all-new Service Hub from HubSpot. It makes it infinitely easier to scale customer support and increase retention. By bringing service and support together in one powerful platform, you can deliver the best experiences for your customers and your teams. Free up time for your reps to focus on complex issues with an AI-powered help desk. Proactively drive retention with customer health scores that help keep your business ahead, stopping churn in its tracks. And give your entire go-to-market team the data they need to operate as one unified, powerful front. All so you can better connect with customers and keep them happy. Secrets out. HubSpot Service Hub is a game changer. Visit HubSpot.com/service to do more for your customers today. Okay, welcome to Monday, everybody. It's May 6th. I'm John Weigel here with Martina Bertou, and this is the Hustle Daily Show. Today, Martina Bertou, the editor of HubSpot's Next in AI, returns to cue us in on the biggest AI stories we may have missed or lauded over in April and early May. Could Elon Musk's 10-month-old xAI be the next big player? Why is Google giving over $5 million to the Wall Street Journal? And is physical AI technology just not what we thought it would be? We'll get to all that in a bit, but first let's hit you with the hits and headlines in business and tech. All right, kicking us off today, Hollywood had high hopes for Ryan Gosling's The Fall Guy, kickstarting a torrid summer blockbuster season, but the action comedy flick underperformed expectations with a so-so $28.5 million weekend debut. Next, the Kentucky Derby ended with a thrilling three-horse photo finish this past weekend with millimeters separating winner Mystic Dan's $3.1 million top prize from the runners-up at $1 million and $500,000, respectively. Next on the docket, dorm microwaves have really earned their summer break this year. Americans bought about $1.6 billion worth of ramen between April 2023 and April 2024, which is just the latest gaudy numbers in a long simmering trend. U.S. retail ramen sales are up 72% since the year 2000. Over to big tech, a new feature made its way to YouTube. YouTube Premium members can use an AI-powered, quote, jump ahead button that'll bypass the video's least watched sections to, as they say, get to the good part. And finally, Warren Buffett hosted Berkshire Hathaway's annual meeting, highlighted by a somber remembrance of his late business partner, Charlie Munger, and ending with the 93-year-old Buffett saying he hopes to be around for next year's summit. The company, though, continues to flourish despite a dip in Q1 profits. The company revealed it's sitting on a record $189 billion of cash, and that's huge. Okay, our main segment today is a huge discussion about this past month in AI. What updates do you need to know? What companies are at the forefront? And what can we look forward to? To give us that insight, I'm joined by Martina Bertou to discuss all those questions and more. Welcome back, Martina, once again.
Thank you, John. Happy to be here.
Yes, happy to have you as always. I'm going to start off with the first thing we usually start off every month, which is to ask you if there are any big surprises you found last month in AI.
Yeah. So for me this month, it's two things. One is a little bit of personal interest, and the second one is more business related. Mm-hmm. I was really surprised to hear that the rapper Drake used AI in a diss song that he released in April. People like you and me, we use it to produce songs that sound like Drake, that sound like Rihanna, that sound like these big artists. And we've never seen somebody at this level of stardom leverage AI in this way. So that was a big surprise for me.
Yeah, definitely. That's a huge surprise. I didn't even know about that till you mentioned it, actually. I'm surprised I missed that. How did he use it?
Let me give you the update.
Give me the update.
Okay, so he actually used the voice of Tupac, which he ended up actually getting a cease and desist letter from Tupac's estate. So he used Tupac in this diss track as a way to send jabs to Kendrick Lamar, who's in a rap beef with right now. So it was a very tactical use, but it's something that he wasn't able to really see longevity in because he ended up getting that letter to take it down.
Wow. So even artists as big as Drake get cease and desist letters
from
people.
They still have to stop.
By using AI voices. Wow. Who knew? I thought he was above the law, honestly, in some cases. So that's kind of refreshing. And it is really exciting to see musicians actually using AI, to your point, because I felt like it's just been mostly of there's been legal battles about like who can use my voice versus who can't use her voice. Grimes, at one point, I remember about a year ago, said that she was welcoming of people using her voice in AI songs. And you got to imagine that a lot of artists and labels aren't. So for an actual artist to do that, it's very exciting.
Of another really popular artist.
Yeah.
In a diss track. I mean, the layers of it makes it so interesting to me.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's a way to use AI, it's, I guess, in this way. I mean, I don't know if it was really well received by a lot of rap enthusiasts, but he did it. So obviously, as an AI enthusiast, I was all for it.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of interesting ways to use AI, going off of that, another big thing came out this month. Obviously, we talked at the end of last year, at the beginning of this year even, about the rise in wearable tech and kind of what physical AI devices mean for the future. So a device came out called Humane's AI Pin this past month, and it got really bad reviews, and it was
really bad.
$700, which some people have considered insane. What were your thoughts on the wearable tech?
Let's not forget, it's $700 to buy it initially, but there's also a $24 monthly subscription, which I think is absolutely absurd for a product that already has a hefty price. I have a lot of thoughts on the AI pin. I think when it first came out, I was following some of the marketing, and I think they just really failed to showcase its value. They were using a lot of marketing terms to explain what it would mean and what it could do. But I think for the average consumer, it's very hard to understand what it does and how it can help you in your day to day.
Sure.
So I think that's where they went wrong. And obviously, you had that super viral video of Marques Brownlee, who essentially roasted the product. And I think he had a fair and balanced review. He talked about some of the positives, which is it can tell you what it sees in your space, which I think has some really interesting accessibility advantages that they can lean into. He talked about how the hand gestures were pretty intuitive. And I know that's something I personally thought was maybe a little bit too futuristic. He talked about how you can make calls and send messages, but it turns out that the negatives far outweighed the positive. It has a slow response. If you have a poor internet connection, it's really not going to work that well. The information that it gives you sometimes is very inaccurate, something that happens with all AI models. The battery life isn't so great. So just the list keeps going on and on. And I think the AI pin and other ones like it are really interesting, and there is room for them. But right now, we seem to be getting a lot of products that aren't fully developed. And that's a critique that he put in the video as well. You're getting these half-baked products that have a really interesting vision, and you see where they could go, but the promise of it just isn't here yet.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of these products that are coming out have a lot of the same functionality as you could get on a phone.
Exactly.
And that was something that was happening in, you know, the mid-2000s when BlackBerry was out. There would be these other devices. You know, you had an MP3 player, you had this, you had that. Single-use devices for separate things. But now that we have phones, it seems like these aren't necessarily that useful. Although, there is another device that came out, the Rabbit R1, at a $200 price point. That one features also a camera that you can kind of scan things and ask your AI, like, what is this? And also reviewed by Marques Brownlee as well. So what do you think the future of this tech is? Do you think that we'll be seeing more of this, or do you think it'll just kind of integrate itself into phones?
You brought up a really great point that right now it's hard to see the value because our phones do so much. They have really good cameras. They're linked to so many apps. I mean, you can have your whole world in your phone. And so far, these products have not yet proven to be good enough to replace your phone or even be a good supplement to your phone. So I definitely see them iterating on these products. I see more of them coming out. I think a lot of people are seeing how the Rabbit and Humane's AI pin are being received by the public, what critiques people have, and seeing how they can maybe, for their own products, come out with a better version of it. But I definitely think we'll see more of it.
Yeah, and to get into some other companies, we talked about some physical AI. Now let's talk about some software, okay? So obviously, Tesla's been in the news this past month. We're not talking about them. Don't worry, everybody. But we are talking about another Elon Musk property, xAI. And they were able to raise about $6 billion in funding so far. Do you think they can be a viable competitor? They're pretty new.
Yeah, I think definitely. I mean, we've seen Elon obviously build these really successful businesses. We know that he was a co-founder of OpenAI, so it's not like it's a industry that he's unfamiliar with. Obviously, he has Grok on Twitter. He has his own AI model. And what he's done so far has been pretty impressive. They just came out with Grok 1.5 Vision, which is comparable to the quality that we're seeing on ChatGPT and Claude and Gemini. So even though it's still early, I think that they can be a really viable OpenAI competitor for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. I mean, I think they're definitely in the mix. And it seems like they're getting a lot of traction just in the first 10 months. But of course, as we know, things move pretty fast.
They sure do.
In this field. Another company that's kind of moving quickly is Perplexity AI. I know you've done a report on them recently, and they had their CEO featured in the Next in AI podcast on our podcast network at HubSpot. But the idea about Perplexity AI, do you see them growing massively in the future? Because they kind of come to us as a search engine alternative with AI.
Yeah, I just read a report about how AI-powered search engines are growing in popularity now because people aren't going straight to Google anymore. Mm-hmm. There's a growing percentage of people who are going to TikTok, who are going to Perplexity, who are trying to find alternative ways of getting their information because sometimes Google just isn't doing what it needs to do. And so I definitely see Perplexity continuing to grow in popularity. And I just love seeing new players come into the space. I love the David and Goliath situation. I love the underdog coming in, disrupting the space, bringing in something new. Because I think sometimes when you have really big players, they can sometimes lose touch with their consumers and what people are looking for. And having a new player come in and shake things up can almost help them reassess and reevaluate what they're doing, what they're offering. And so it creates that competition that I'm all here for.
Yeah, you love to see some smaller companies come up and duel with a Google or duel with X or Microsoft or Meta or like any of these big time companies that have all the funds to do anything in the world.
So exactly.
That's nice. And talking about companies that have the funds to do anything in the world, Google apparently is paying Wall Street Journal's parent company $5 to $6 million every year, or it's going to start doing that to develop new AI related content. So obviously as a journalist and as somebody that primarily works in AI, what do you think about this? Is AI and kind of creeping too much into journalism, or are AI players and tech players creeping too much into our space here?
It's so interesting. The relationship between journalists and journalism and AI is very complex. So on one hand, you have news publishers who are getting paid top dollar to license their content to these AI companies so that they can train their AI models. Mm-hmm. And on another hand, you also have publishers like the New York Times suing AI companies like OpenAI for copyright infringement. And then you also have news publishers considering using AI to write their content. So personally, I have a lot of hesitation around this because obviously when you think about journalism, you think about two things, accuracy and integrity, right? Mm-hmm. And AI is also known for not doing those things. AI is known for giving you wrong information. It's known to fall into these kind of stereotypical tropes of people and things. So seeing those two worlds converge definitely make me a little bit nervous, but it was only a matter of time. Obviously, there is this kind of one-way relationship that's happening right now where AI companies are depending on the publishers. But I hope it doesn't become the other way where news publishers are now depending on AI. Mm-hmm. So we just have to wait and see, but it's tricky.
It is very tricky. And I like how you mentioned all of the kind of ins and outs of this relationship because it is very finicky at times. It's really weird. Some people get paid to do something. They pay them to do something else. I mean, there's a bunch of legal problems with it right now about publications being featured in AI software that it shouldn't be. So yeah, it just sounds like a mess. But coming off that negative, what are your expectations going off into next month? And we'll, of course, meet back here again. But what do you think is going to happen next month? What are you looking forward to? And what are you excited about?
The Verge's, they ran a report. And one thing that they found that I thought was really interesting is that AI is becoming a marketing tactic. So they asked folks, when a product or experience is powered by AI, by how much does it make you interested? So 53% of millennials said it made them more interested. 49% of Gen Z said it made them more interested. 39% of Gen X and 27% of boomers.
Wow.
The last one really surprised me, the 27% of boomers, because I think, at least maybe that's my stereotypical perception of boomers, which is that they maybe don't like technology as much. And so what I'm picturing over the next month and over the next year is that AI will become even more of a buzzword, but specifically in the context of product marketing. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see a lot more products, even if it's in a small feature of one product line, we'll see that becoming a tagline and something that every business is trying to push forward because AI powered means something bigger. It means something better, something faster. Mm-hmm. So I see that continuing more.
See, that's interesting. And I'm sure you're right about that because you see a lot of companies nowadays touting their use of AI in certain things. And even if it's a very small use in something that doesn't even see the consumer day to day, they are reporting on it. We actually talked a few weeks ago about the concept of AI washing and how a lot of these companies are just inserting themselves into AI by saying something is built by AI when maybe it's really not, or maybe a certain facet of it is, but they're advertising it. Like even Coca-Cola got in some hot water for this a while ago by saying they had a drink that was produced by AI, which is, I mean, obviously not true. But
wow. That's sure interesting.
Some facet of it maybe was produced by that in that they asked ChatGPT, what drink should I make? I don't know.
Right.
There is something there. But yeah, that is interesting. And I definitely agree with you that that is going to be a thing we see a lot more of in the future.
Yeah, I think AI powered is the new organic. You know how in stores, I remember stores and when the organic word came out, it was everywhere. And I remember thinking, oh, I had a perception of what organic meant. And then I remember doing research later on, and they were like, yeah, organic doesn't mean a thing. It's just this buzzword, and it crushed all my dreams. And I thought about all the products that I paid extra for because they were quote unquote organic. And I feel like it's the same thing with AI powered, or it's going to be the same thing with AI powered, where you're expecting all of this really fresh new technology. And then you're like, wait, I can't even use this in my day to day.
Yeah, good time to mention. Thanks for listening, everybody. This podcast is powered by AI. Thank you so much, Martina, for coming on this month. Looking forward to have you next month and talk about some more zany stuff in the world of AI. So thank you.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Of course. And thank you, everybody, for listening today. And thanks for tuning into the Hustle Daily Show. We're a proud part of the HubSpot Podcast Network. Our editor today is Robert Hartwig, and our executive producer is Darren Clark. We've got a lot more tech and business coverage in our newsletter. If you're not subscribed, go get yourself signed up at thehustle.co/email, and we'll see you tomorrow. Hey, everybody, I got a great podcast to tell you about. It's called Truth, Lies, and Work, and it's brought to you by the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals. On this show, you can join husband and wife team Al and Leanne Elliott as they dispel myths, impart wisdom, and answer all your questions about finding, keeping, and motivating great people. They actually just did an episode with John Smith, who is the manager and agent of famous Argentinian soccer player Diego Maradona. He talks about in this episode how he was able to manage the global superstar, athlete, celebrity that Maradona is and was. It's a great listen. You better get out there and check it out. And you can listen to Truth, Lies, and Work wherever you get your podcasts.